8 o'clock hour on your home of America's team with Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And every year when we go to the Super Bowl, he is one of our favorites to sit down with. He is the former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. He's in charge and running Sumer Sports. And let's get ready for the NFL season with Thomas Dimitroff on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, man. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing? I can just imagine rolling up there. You guys are all pumped up from all the bench pressing. We're rolling, ready to go.
Oh, Choppy, he still remembers you.
He's my guy. He's my guy, man.
I love it.
Thomas, what did you make of the CeeDee Lamb contract with the way it ended up and all the drama that came along with it?
Yeah, I mean, I put the drama aside because there's always reasons for an approach, right, from an NFL organization, especially from someone like Jerry Jones, who has a very definitive way of doing things. Personally, my feeling has always been I would love to get my players in as a general manager early, right? I want them in training camp. I want no distractions. That's me coming up through the Bill Belichick way, right? That's just how it was. We were very mindful of that over the years. So with the CeeDee Lamb deal going down as late as it did, obviously he's a great kid. He'll be in shape. He's going to work at it. But there's nothing like the shape you'll be in as you've been in training camp, right? That is my biggest concern about it. The numbers themselves, look, this guy and where the receiver numbers are going. Do you guys remember when we signed Julio Jones for $22 million and the world lost their mind? Yeah. I mean, $34 million. I know Jefferson's right there at 35, right? Is it? And then is it A.J. Brown right in the same area, 32-ish? Mm-hmm. I think those are amazing numbers, and it is just the way it is. So I'm all about you guys signing him there in Dallas. I think he's such an important part of what you guys are going to do offensively. I just wish that there was a little more time to get him ready.
Thomas, is there from a contract standpoint, because we've gone back and forth, like, you know, are they costing themselves money by waiting? Is there any advantage to doing it the way the Cowboys do from a money standpoint?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, you talk about it a lot. And I mean, I'll tell you this, most deals in today's world, you have a really good idea of where it's going to be, just the pure APY, right? It's going to be between 32 and 35. You're not going over 35. You're going to find that sweet spot. And I've always believed in you know, effective, efficient negotiating. Some people approach it differently. Yes, you could get different parts of that contract working in a certain way with a little more time. I'm sure, respectfully, you know, Jerry approached it that way, where he was trying to make sure he got through all of this. It wasn't a pressing concern right now. There's a lot of conversation around this, right? So the sidebar is there's a lot of marketing with this right now, even not doing that, not suggesting that was the reason why. You can save a little bit here and there, but in the end, it came down to 34. There wasn't much movement in that, it appears. So I'm not really sure in the end.
Thomas, you know, with CeeDee's deal and Dak, for instance, we heard Dak a number of weeks back say, I don't have to be the highest paid in the league necessarily. And then he kind of chuckled behind that. When it comes to those contract negotiations, do we kind of miss it in the public or in our discussions about it in the media when we talk about boiling it just down to how much per year does it average out to? What is the APY? Is it a deeper discussion than that a lot of times for guys? Like, are guys looking for, no, I want guarantees, or I want percentage of the cap as new money? Like, how do those discussions typically go? And is APY too simple a way to boil down what players are often looking for?
Yeah, no question. APY is a simple way to look at it. 3-year guaranteed money is really big right now. The 3-year money is huge for a lot of the players. I mean, that used to be the big deal for us when we were negotiating all of our contracts. That's, you know, the fact that the new money is truly 34 is legit as well, gentlemen, right? On the APY, that's important to know. It's not fabricated by a huge ballooned back end. I will say again, when you go back and forth with the agents, what is a unique thing is usually, now I know Dallas is a little bit different with you know, with Jerry and Steven, how they're working together on this, but most organizations have a cap and contract person who does a lot of the minutia work, and they're going back and forth on a lot of issues. They're coming back to their general manager and they're discussing, here's where we are to this point. And then in the very end, the GM, at least I did, and a number of the guys that I know come back in as a heavy hand. Here's where we're going. We are not moving past 34. That is the deal. If you don't want it, don't take it. So there's a little bit about that heavy hand when the GM steps in the very end, and I'm sure Jerry Jones stepped in at the very end on that.
Thomas Dimitroff joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, when we look at the way the Cowboys have set things up kind of structurally this year, where Mike McCarthy's on a one-year deal, Dak Prescott's on a one-year deal, in fact, Mike McCarthy's entire coaching staff is, the last time they had entered things that way was 2019, and it seemed to cause some toxicity around the halfway point of the season, where people started looking for, you know, kind of CYA stuff whenever things started to turn. Is that a dangerous thing for the Cowboys to have entering this season, just that uncertainty across the board, and can it potentially lead to guys looking for their next gig in the middle of this one?
Look, I'm sure that leadership at the Cowboys understands every little bit of what's going to happen, and they foreshadow and they project. There's a lot of that going on in today's world. We don't even get into Sumer about projecting, but the idea of projecting and where you're going to go, where the problems may be, and how you're going to handle that, I think if you're a good, sound organization and you foreshadow well enough, you have your list of things you need to take care of in those areas. To have this many important players and people with a coach up is a big, big deal. There's a lot of pressure on that organization right now. They seem like they're the type of organization, however, to be able to handle it. I like some of what they've done. I know a lot of people have been complaining they haven't been aggressive enough, but bringing in some of the players they have and some of the leadership they have, I think, is going to help that uncertain situation going into the season.
You think they can be better than last year?
I think they can. I mean, I'll be really interested to see how the defense rolls. I know, you know, with Zim coming in there, obviously have a great deal of respect for Dan Quinn. Different defense, different approach. I'm going to be very interested to see how that all works out. I know, you know, and adding Kendricks and Micah on that linebacker side and getting the right defense flying around with a good cornerback group, that I feel interested to see where that's going to be. Again, offensively, switching over to the other side. That O-line, we're all looking at that, right? We want to see how that O-line is going to be. How is it going to be producing the run game, and how is it going to take the pressure off of your quarterback so that he can produce is something that's on my mind. To answer your question, I think they can, but I'm not sure I'm a betting man on projections in the NFL this year.
What do you mean? Who do you have in front of them in the NFC?
You guys are going to hate for me to say this. I mean, I'm really intrigued by Howie Roseman and those Eagles, right? I just what they're doing with that roster and what they have there, how they're building it. Now, they have their own precarious coaching situation, right? And that will be really, really interesting to see how that plays out. And, you know, look, there are some really good football coaches out there that are waiting in the wings, I'm sure. And that will be really fascinating to see how that plays off as the Octobers and Novembers come around.
Former NFL GM Thomas Dimitroff here on 105 Through the Fan. Thomas, Jerry Jones believes, you talked about pressure, and we're talking about McCarthy, one-year deals, Dak. Jerry believes that the pressure makes you better. He seems to dismiss the idea of resentment and bitterness and anyone working any differently just because their status is in limbo. Was that your experience in the league?
Look, I think pressure is a good thing, appropriately used, and we were mindful of it. I was mindful of it with Mike Smith in the early, you know, in my early tenure, and then when Dan Quinn came in, more related to you guys there. You know, Dan, he's a positive, passionate, persevering person, and he expects that in his team, and he also expects to be able to nudge those players and them, you know, come around and rise to the occasion. I believe it helped us in Atlanta with him. I believe it helped your defense that way. I believe it's important. That said, it is a different generation, and we all know that, right? Yep. You have to be mindful of that, I believe. I think there's a combination of old school and new school that needs to be utilized when you're approaching team building and team navigation, in my mind.
Thomas, we fully believe that if Dak gets to free agency, that he is gone. Like he won't come back. Maybe even out of principle. Let's say you're a GM that needs a quarterback. What is your offer to him?
Your offer has to be right up there near, obviously, the top. I would hate to put a number on it, but I mean, it has to be right there. It's got to be you know, and it might have to be $1 over what is presented to this date. And again, you guys may be killing me and everyone in the organization may be killing me on that. But I think you have to go strong. I mean, we all know it's not easy to land that quarterback that's going to win the games that you need to win. I think he's a heck of a quarterback with the right surrounding cast and the right offensive line.
Thomas, are you paying him more because you think he can win you a Super Bowl, or are you paying him because you don't want to go without?
That's a good question. Do I think he has Super Bowl winning potential? No question about that in my mind. I do know that it is an uneasy feeling as a team builder to know that you're going in to changing your approach. And they've been with Dak for how many years now, gentlemen? Quite a few right now. To go into that rookie mode or to go into a free agent coming in, that's a completely different building process. And that's not the easiest thing to do. And it is really uneasy when you're thinking about years to come. And if you're also thinking about, you know, what's next to come on the leadership level, right? You know, look, the reality right now, I don't want to be commenting on Coach McCarthy's situation. I don't mean that. But when you're looking at the big picture and you're looking at what are the next steps for your organization, you know that attracting potential coaches into the future, hopefully it's years to come, you have to have the right quarterback in place to attract the bona fide head coaches. You know what I'm talking about.
Thomas, for a long time we compared Dak to Cousins. There's a lot of hype around your former organization. Are you a big buyer in what Atlanta will be this year?
I think Atlanta, again, I think they have a really good roster. I think what Raheem has done along with Terry Fontenot, you know, continuing to follow up with what the organization has done, they have a lot of really powerful offensive tools to put around Kirk as he's healing, to put around, you know, Michael Penix if he does have to lead the season off. You know, there's a couple spots on the defense that they're looking at closely, of course. I just think it's a good roster. I think now they have to take it to another level, right? They have to take the belief that they are a winning organization and not a middling organization to another level. I think they can do it. I really do believe in what Raw can do coming in there and ramp that team up as far as their personality, toughness, aggressiveness, and edge. And I think that's going to be an important part. Take that talent to another level.
Thomas, you know, we've seen in recent years the pushing forward of, okay, let's really get the passing game, the vertical passing game going. And then it was, you know, pre-snap motion and then at the snap motion. There are always these trends that we start seeing the NFL copy when somebody's really pushing forward. With what you guys do at Sumer, what are you seeing as kind of forecasted as like, this is the next trend that's really going to take over the league?
You know, you hit me on that when I'm supposed to have the answer to that. We are literally sitting down talking about projections today. When you guys get me back on, I'll talk about it all seriously. But I would hate to go into that right now. So hold that next conversation you have with me, please.
Okay. Well, one more thing with that. Do you see something like it's cyclical being where the running game comes back to prominence?
I think the running game is vital. And I do believe that. I believe the movement is going to be important for that offense, right? A lot of that is important in today's game, and I think it will continue to be that way. I think your coordinator has a very good grasp of that. I mean, the way that Schottenheimer approaches making sure that the run game is facilitated properly is going to be an important part, I believe, of the success to your quarterback as well.
Thomas, we love having you on as always, man. Keep it going over there at Sumer Sports, and we'll have you back on to answer that one question as the season starts.
Well, remember, we have Lindsay Rhodes joining us. Lindsay Rhodes and I are doing our Sumer show, so we'll be really excited. Maybe we can get you guys on our
yes!
show to speak a little bit.
Absolutely.
I love it.
We're down for it. Thank you, Thomas. Enjoy the start of the season, man.
Thanks, gentlemen. We'll talk soon.
Thomas Dimitroff, who joins us at the Super Bowl with a colleague. That colleague got hired by a team.
Yeah. Eric Eager. He got hired away this offseason. I believe it was Minnesota, but he got added to a front office.
Thomas Dimitroff on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Apparently, Michael Jordan couldn't play defense either.
What?
And what do you want your kid to call you at work? Next on Sean and RJ. B-Low, the belt has Will McClay finally had enough. That's coming up at 8:40. Odyssey Baseball Insider Brett Boone at 9 o'clock. And Nick Eatman had the one-on-one with C.D. Lamb, who was at practice yesterday after the contract got done. Eatman will join us at 9:20 here on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And the Rangers are going to have a doubleheader today. Yesterday against the White Sox, got rained out. And we also have some basketball notes. Rasheed Wallace is at it again. Just after saying that Michael Jordan was a more dangerous player on the Washington Wizards than he was the Chicago Bulls. Well, now Rasheed is commenting on Michael's defense.
Mike wasn't all that good of a defender.
10 all defensive teams, that Michael Jordan.
All that's NBA shit. Yeah, we like Mike. We gonna put him out there. I'm talking about being out there. I seen this motherfucker get his ass bust where he couldn't stop a motherfucker against J.R. Ryder. Probably against Clyde Drexler. Don't forget the early Joe Dumars. And I'm not saying that he didn't play defense. I'm just saying that his defense wasn't as high as most other cats at that time. I couldn't put him on like 10 or 11 consecutive first team all defensive joint stuff.
Rasheed Wallace, ladies and gentlemen.
This is what too much weed does to your brain.
This is why you don't listen to players. That's why, like, I put way more stock in the ESPN Top 100 list they did with executives than the NFL networks where they did it with players.
Yeah.
The executives, even the media. I mean, the media watches more than the players do.
You know, of all, nothing Michael Jordan had ever done or ever did doesn't go viral. You don't think by now that we would have seen multiple highlight reels of Michael getting torched?
Well, we did see.
I know where Choppy's going already. You're going with the article, the expose
aren't you? That's factual. Like, that's factual.
No,
like,
it wasn't. It was conjecture. It was made up. It was.
What do you mean it was conjecture? Use English words that we all understand.
You were Mr. English Minor. Come on.
What we're talking
about. It was the Yahoo Sports article from a couple months ago that claimed he was getting home cooking and look at all the numbers. Look how much, even though just about every player in every sport has splits where at home they're better. But you're talking about a guy who
they were taking his steal numbers. Were inflated, which, I mean, let's just say it's true, because it absolutely is true. Could you say that about
what is absolutely true?
Well, because he went through all the games.
But I'm saying, like, what is it? What are you saying? Is that it is a theory? There's nothing that's absolutely true about it.
No, Tom went through all the games and went and checked the box score of that game versus the like actual video of the game, and the steal numbers were different.
Steals are credited in a very loose way.
Absolutely.
There's everybody.
Yes, there's no doubt. And that goes without saying, and it goes for everybody. And I think what the point is, like, you know, now we have so much more video now, like, that gets exposed much more quickly. But the point is that they inflated some of his steal numbers, and, you know, that created a different thought that he is a better defender than he is. He still, I mean, all you gotta do, like, he was still a lockdown defender. I mean, you don't win Defensive Player of the Year without, and he did. He's the only one ever, or at least at the time, the only one ever to win the scoring title and Defensive Player of the Year that wasn't a center.
So Rasheed Wallace is now on my all-podcast team for the wrong reasons. Whenever he speaks from now on, or Nick Young, I'm dismissing it. It's out. And Kevin Garnett, he's a random third for me with all the cursing, yelling, and screaming, acting like the tough guy. And then after Paul Pierce exposed them over the Dirk story, I'm keeping a distance from KG as well. But Rasheed, you are disqualified, just like you were in all the games you played when you couldn't control yourself.
Jailblazers. Right,
this next one is an amazing topic, I think, that Choppy sent from LeBron James.
So LeBron James has his son, Bronny, in the Lakers organization. And he was on a podcast and was asked the question, what does Bronny call you at work?
Have you thought through, not relationship, because you'll always be his dad, he'll always be his son, but what's your working relationship? Is he going to call you dad at practice in the locker room?
No, he can't. We already laid that down. He cannot call me dad in the workplace. All right. Once we leave out of the private facility and the gates close, I could be dad again. Okay. In the car if we ride together. Okay. At home, I could be dad. No, he got to call me like 2-3 or Bron.
Okay.
Or, you know, goat if he wants to. That's up to him. I mean, it's up to him. But it's easy for me. It's easy for me because I've been calling him Bronny for so long. Yeah. It's not like I've been calling, hey son. Yeah. Like, yeah, so yeah, it's yeah. easy for me. It's gonna be the adjustment for him. But we cannot be running down the court and he'd be like, Dad, push the ball up, Dad, I'm open, Dad, come on. Like, no, you cannot do that.
All right, I thought that was great.
It's a great topic.
And I thought it was pretty, outside of the he can call me goat, that's a little LeBron cheesy.
Yeah.
Everything else I thought was pretty likable. Like let's keep a border here. Let's keep a boundary.
So what happens with Luka and you at practice?
He calls me dad.
Okay.
Yeah, he calls me dad.
Yeah. And that's different.
Coach dad. He doesn't call me coach dad.
So what do y'all do? You work together. Is it fine? Like, at work, when do you, like, how do you guys feel? I always have a problem with someone who calls their parent by the first name. I hate that.
It's weird.
Stepchild, is it more allowable? Did that happen with Jacob?
Jacob calls me.
Because I don't think I've ever heard him call you dad.
Jacob calls me Bobby, and two people, when he refers to me, he says my dad.
Okay.
So he says my dad when referring to me to other people, but when he's addressing me, he calls me Bobby.
And you were fine with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if your daughters did it?
No. No, because I mean, to him, he was introduced to me as Bobby. Like, that was who he met me as. Yeah. So like at that point, if it doesn't change right. over, like no, if that's yeah. just how he was introduced and was calling me, and then we get married when he's like 10, then that's a little bit different, I think.
Yeah, I like my kids call Sarah, and you know,
yeah.
they call their stepdad.
You know his name?
Yeah, I do. I was trying to think. I don't think I've ever heard them. I've never heard them call them dad. I would have laid the law down.
Ooh.
They call him Michael. So they call him as my first name. But it's totally common. Like I think it's common to have both in the workplace. I know I've heard people in the workplace that I know whose dad runs the show call him. They've called him dad. They've called him dad.
Yeah. Bronny can't. Like he'd get killed even more than he's already going to get killed because of the way he got on the Lakers.
Which would be more surprising to you, or which sounds more like the LeBron thing, that he would require Bronny to call him GOAT, or that he would require all his other teammates to also call him dad? Like I feel like that would be a LeBron move too. Like, you guys just all call me daddy because I am the king and I'm in charge of all of you.
877-881-1053. How does it work for you all on the Fantex, YouTube, and Twitch? For either you working with your dad or your kid working with you, and you don't want it to be corny and cheesy in the workplace.
We're gonna need to ask Brett Boone about this. Brett, I don't know if Brett ever played, but Aaron, I think, did play under Bob Boone. And so what did Aaron call him? Would he call him Coach Skip? Or Skip? Or what would he call him?
Booney.
Pepe, you have any instances of this?
I mean, I was thinking like Little League baseball when I was younger, like 9, 10 years old, I'd call my dad because he was my coach. But once I got to like 13, 14, I just skipped that part. I was like, hey, you know, what do you want me to do here? I didn't call him by his first name, but I just didn't want to. I avoided dad.
And what is
my dad did that to my mom's parents. He's never called them by their first name, or he never called them mom or dad. He just looked at them and started talking. He was so uncomfortable with having to call them anything, he looked at him and started talking to him.
And what is the age in which you're cool with your kids addressing you by the first name? When can that actually happen?
Never. I worked with my dad for a couple years. I would never call him dad though.
Yeah, Luca will sometimes yell out RJ, and I'll be like, hey, some people call me dad. Like that's how I hit it.
All right, Sean, I got I want to tell you about the most psycho brand that exists in society today, and it's a children's product, Crayola. Crayola has trademarked the, quote, slightly earthy smell of its crayons.
Yeah, this threw me.
This is psycho. The two most psycho brands I think you can argue in society right now are Crayola and Lego. Like, they are nuts about their brand and almost cultish about things. Well, Crayola had spoken with Bloomberg News, and they have fought for a trademark of the smell of their crayons all the way back to 2018.
Yeah.
Lost in 2019. We're told no. They won it on appeal. So they talked to Bloomberg about what they're planning to do with this trademark now. They want to pump the smell of their crayons into stores during back-to-school shopping to evoke nostalgic memories and drive people to buy their crayons during back-to-school. This is cult leader behavior. This is Marshall Applewhite telling everybody, like, Haley's coming, it's coming, let's hop on the back of it and leave Heaven's Gate together. This is psycho to me that Crayola would do this, and that the trademark would be even allowed.
But not one, yeah, number one, can you trademark smells?
I know when somebody breaks wind whose it is. My younger one's got a brand, I'll tell you that right now. Holy cow.
the whole,
like, number two, I've never loved or enjoyed or yearned for the smell of a crayon. I don't enjoy
it. Smells like wax.
I don't enjoy
it. Smell like wax.
I don't enjoy the smell of crayons.
I mean, perhaps if I walked into a store, it might trigger nostalgia. It might. Yeah. I don't know. Would that, you know,
there's a Crayola place that we took Ollie to when he was younger, and maybe the Crayola Experience.
Yeah, it's over there by it's like North Park or one of those. It's over there. This right here though does just show, like, this was an interview with Bloomberg. How many other things are we missing, though, in society where, like, retailers or other people are probably doing things like this right now to try and just subliminally
absolutely
work you?
What does Lego do that's cultish?
So Lego for forever refused. When the Lego movie was made, that was a 20-year fight with studios who wanted to, and Lego refused and was like, you will not damage our brand. You will not, like, present Lego in a certain way. And, like, it took years of fighting with them. They will sue people over, like, I think they sued what's the alternate one, like, is it Roblox? Is that one of them?
Roblox, yeah,
like Roblox. Like the off-brand version of Legos, they've gone after them in court before. So it's like, how much can you really trademark stackable bricks, guys? Like, I mean, and so, like, I mean, they are intense about their branding and will, like, they're very litigious with
them. I hate them because you step on them and it's never a good feeling.
Mm-mm. Has Will McClay finally had enough after what Jerry Jones said the other day? That is next in Below the Belt Hump Day Edition. Okay. Continues on Sean and RJ. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Are you risking your greatest asset? Is Jerry Jones playing with fire here? We talked about this interview yesterday that Jerry Jones had done with Clarence Hill, talking about general manager, why he holds the title, why he will continue to hold the title. And we talked about just the different angles he took on it and how he had said that, you know, I would never allow somebody, he admitted, I would never allow somebody to do the job the right way because they would have to come to me and I would want to approve everything and know everything. So I might as well hold on to the title myself. So that was a big talking point of it, but the bigger quote that came out of there obviously was where he had said there's nobody that could blanking come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. And it got me thinking. I think Will McClay, who is the vice president of player personnel, I believe is his exact title. Will McClay is a guy who I don't think would ever believe that he's going to hold the title of GM here while Jerry's here. I don't think he's holding out hope waiting for that. I think he knows Jerry's here, Jerry's GM. That's not a new thing to him. I don't think this would upset him to hear Jerry say, I'm going to continue to be GM till I leave. I think he expects that. What I would wonder and what I want to get y'all's thoughts on is naturally, does this, the way that Jerry's describing it, not by saying I'm holding the title, but saying somebody coming in here couldn't touch what I do.
Yeah.
Is that dismissive, naturally dismissive, intended or not, naturally dismissive of Will McClay? And is it dismissive enough that you risk potentially angering him?
No. I don't see why Will McClay would be offended by this whatsoever. I don't see. Just answer me this yes or no. Does Will McClay work on contracts?
Not to the extent that it's something where, like,
does Will McClay handle the numbers? Yes or no?
Todd Williams does.
Yes.
Mainly.
Like, Will McClay, I think, watches film and talks about a player, what he does on the field. So Jerry Jones, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Jerry, are you correcting me?
No, I'm saying, like, okay.
I wanted you to correct that part.
No, I'm acknowledging what you're saying.
Yeah. So Jerry Jones in that comment and I destroyed plenty of it yesterday. But Jerry Jones in that comment is saying half football, half contracts. So if Will McClay doesn't deal with contracts, Jerry Jones saying someone else can't come in here and do the math and handle the salary cap and do the players, no one can do that better than me. That should not offend Will McClay because he does not deal in that area of numbers.
I don't think Jerry deals with it to that kind of extent either, though.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying contracts. He loves to brag. All he did during training camp was talk about how no one on the face of the earth can understand the salary cap and the numbers the way he does. In this very interview, he's talking about handling contracts and numbers and finances. That should not offend or apply to insulting Will McClay.
Yeah,
and Will McClay, that's not part of his job requirement. It's not part of what he does.
But when you say
he's a talent evaluator.
But when you say in general the title of GM, like you're talking about the idea of general manager. So like you don't think that Will McClay could be a general manager. That's obviously not what you're saying. You think he could, right?
Yeah, I mean, look.
You can't leave out what Jerry is describing under his job title.
He's describing a portion of it that's under owner. Like owner in terms of signing off and closing financial things. The contracts negotiated in large part are done by Adam Pacifica and Todd Williams. And that wouldn't change with Will or Jerry, I don't think.
Well, also, like, I don't think Will would be offended by this because, like, Will, if he wanted to, would be a GM on 20 different teams.
And I think that's because he's always...
Like, he's choosing to stay in this role.
He feels very... I think he's extremely loyal to the Jones family. And I think he feels comfortable. And not just that. I think there is a deep, sincere desire to... I want to as much for me. I want to win one for him. Like, I want to get him one. Like, I think that's a feeling that Will McClay has.
You have to be accurate with the quote. We have to be 1,000% accurate. Mm-hmm. And the exact quote is, so hell no, there's nobody that could effing come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can.
Do you think
I am factoring in the contracts with Jerry bragging about his financial abilities, and I don't think that applies to Will McClay.
But doesn't he separate it naturally in the quote? They can't do the contracts.
I think you're nitpicking.
I don't think
that's my opinion. I think you're nitpicking it. I think you're trying to make it sound like it would be an affront to Will. And Jerry Jones thinks that he's this genius who can evaluate players and do contracts, and someone else doesn't have that multiple skill set in order to do it like him. That's what I think.
Okay, but you don't think that he naturally separates them out there? He says contracts and be a GM. He talks about two different skill sets there in the quote.
Yeah, he does. Again,
and he's bragging about his ability to do both, okay, and there are other people that can't come in and do both because Will McClay doesn't do contracts.
Okay, let's say this then. Fine, I'm going to go with you on that. GM, are you saying that you think GM requirements say that contracts would be part of that? Having that ability, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what you're saying
I think, according to today's NFL, you don't need to be able to tell me what, you know, the Y technique is. You got to be Howie Roseman and add up the numbers. I don't know how many just break down film, and do you have a separate contract guy to do all the numbers, or is the GM doing the contract? I don't know the exact answer to that.
But in that sense, if that's, like, let's say it is under that front where it says that's related to contract negotiations and things like that, which most teams, I think, still have financial guys that do the bulk of it. But I think what you're seeing here is when you have a quote like that that says contracts as part of being the GM, even if you're saying, well, Will's a football guy and it's not a contract thing, that still is a public on the record quote to the rest of the league that says part of the job of GM, maybe Will McClay can't do it. And if Will McClay wants to do this job somewhere else, that is an insinuation that he can't. I don't see how that's different.
I think it is. I think,
like,
you're reaching.
First of all, you're assuming that the other owners are listening to what Jerry is saying there. Like, breaking down word for word.
He's also full of a lot of hot air. Like,
sure.
And people know it.
You know, like, yeah.
Okay, respect level.
Like, I'm the man. I'm the best. Like, I don't think that's insulting Will, you know, directly or indirectly.
A respect level.
If they didn't think that Will McClay could elevate and be that guy, then they wouldn't money whip him and keep promoting him and giving him more cash. There's your answer. If they thought Will McClay wasn't a threat to go somewhere else and be a problem, Houston Texans general manager, then he wouldn't keep getting raises. But I did have this brought up from Atolo. Donald Fault said, with these comments, is Will still with Dallas next season? So that's Tolo Don thinking maybe it could offend McClay.
Well, Will's had his chances to leave. He's chosen to stay for a lot of reasons.
But let's even say it's not
like,
about.
But seriously, like
now I know why Kristen fights with you so much because you're this comma and this period. If you spoke and used sentences with as much punctuation as you try to nitpick with your arguments, we could understand you more.
All right, let's turn it around to you, Sean.
I'm not Zach Wolchow. You think you can just go around beating people in verbal arguments
no, that's
all the
Peyton.
Time? I'm not Wolchow over here.
No, this is some markets in some markets across the country. The program director, the boss, is also a host, like in terms of on afternoon drive or morning drive or whatever
Spits
else.
Spits and suds?
No, but like if you're negotiating, for instance, a contract and you're on a show and the guy that you're with is negotiating your contract right now and he's also the PD or he's also in charge and he's on the air talking about there's nobody that can do this job better than me and like actively talking about, don't you feel a little slighted like, I'm right here. I'm in the middle of a negotiation. You're like naturally disrespecting what I bring.
If that person has the skill set to also do contracts, and like Gavin Spittle can say, hey, no one can be a program director in here. Well, I don't know how the engineering equipment works, and I don't know where the satellites are located, and I don't know how to schedule, and I don't know how to work payroll, and I don't know how to deal with the sales part. These are not things. Now, if I did all those things and Spittle said, hey, no one in here can be a PD like me, I'd be like, yo, man, screw you. Like, I know how to do all those things, and I believe in my ability. Will McClay doesn't deal with contracts. I think Jerry Jones likes to brag about, this is where the umbrella of ownership gives him a pass to talk about every single area, the socks and the jocks. And Bobby, quite frankly, I'm tired of arguing about it with you. You can argue with Choppy or move on to another thing. I've said my piece. You say your piece. We can agree to disagree.
Choppy, your
you're
thoughts.
Not going to win me over.
Your thoughts. Yeah, because you're dug in, Sean.
I'm not Choppy, dug in. I'm just right.
Broadus thinks you're
well,
dug in.
In regards to this, I don't think at the end of the day there's any, like, animosity.
You want me to keep it real, real for you?
Sure.
You really want me to?
Yes.
Here's what happened with this interview.
Mm-hmm.
This is my 1,000,000% belief.
Yep.
And I don't have any problems with it. Clarence Hill went to work for a new media outlet. You got to come out with a bang with a new media outlet. Clarence Hill has a tremendous and great close relationship with Jerry Jones. Clarence Hill asked Jerry Jones, yo, man, I got a new job. Do me a solid. There's a reason that there were 8 F-bombs printed and dropped in this, because it was to help out Clarence come out with a bang. Great get for Clarence. The thing went viral. That's my opinion. A close relationship, a new media outlet, Clarence Hill coming out with a bang. And that's why we got all these F words. It wasn't to offend Will McClay. It was to do Clarence a favor with a brand new job that he has. That's what happened here. If Will McClay doesn't understand that and other people don't understand that, they haven't been paying attention for the last 30 years or twice a week on this radio station. That's the real, real with what happened.
We also know that Will isn't obsessed with titles.
I'm sorry. If Clarence Hill was still at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, this interview, the way it came out and the way it came across, does not happen. Period.
No, it doesn't, because he's not going to put that in the Star-Telegram. You know, like for
another. Well, he's coming out with a bang. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't know. It's behind a paywall.
That's true. I wouldn't know.
You know, it's like us getting, Andre Drott on our
first show.
Coming out with a bang.
We know Will isn't obsessed with job titles. If he was obsessed with job titles, he would have left.
Not the title issue, though. Like, again, that's not
ability.
What
you think his you think he it, should feel insulted that his abilities are questioned or he couldn't be a GM?
Do you think
that Jerry Jones believes that Will McClay can't be a GM?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that the quote naturally is something that I think if I'm in that position that Will's in, or other people are in that position Will's in, I think it's easy to be like, that makes me come off like I'm kind of a slap. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like,
should Steven feel the same way?
Maybe. No, because I don't know that that's the, like
why
Will not? Runs, because
why
Will,
everyone thinks that Steven will become Jerry when it's time.
Because I think what we're talking about is like Will runs personnel, and Jerry has been a big part of like grooming Steven to take over in a lot of aspects. And so naturally the idea of like, he's not where I'm at in my career, so he wouldn't be ready to take over yet.
I think
yet.
You're assuming that he's got insecurities. I don't...
Who?
Will.
Not an insecurity. I think just a respect factor. It's not about insecurity. It's about is there any chance of a disrespect? Like, that's that feels disrespectful to me. Like, you know, if that's the way you feel about
props
it.
Props to you, Ivan. Ivan texted, said, I thought you were done with him, LMAO. I should have left it and moved on.
You can't quit me.
Ivan, you are correct.
Say it. You can't quit me.
No, this is GD. You are annoying as crap when you want to be. Below the belt, maybe for the final time. Here.
637 on the YouTube, Sean.
105.3 The Fan with the amount of people watching. My goodness. All right. Final hour of the show. Nick Eatman got the one-on-one with C.D. Lamb. We'll talk to him at 9:20. But maybe for the last time. Maybe for the last time this baseball season, Brett Boone, Odyssey Baseball Insider, his manager got fired in Seattle. And our lighter, Rocker, and DeGrom, the only reasons left to listen to the Rangers season. Brett Boone joins us next.